You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 33. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Please connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. These episodes are also available on youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they're currently working a 9-to-5 job and voicing projects at night, or they're seriously considering pulling up their roots and moving to Los Angeles sometime in 2020. Now, if you have an interesting story and you're currently under a number of NDAs that need two hands to count them all, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. Today we'll meet a voice actor from Orlando, Florida. From a young age, like most of us, she craved creativity. Torn between theater and creative writing, she went on to college to study creative writing with the goal of becoming an Imagineer for Disney. When she moved to Orlando after college from Indianapolis, where she was born and raised, she was employed by Disney. Not as an Imagineer, though. Today, she has found her stride in creative writing and proudly wears her title of theme park designer on her badge, working next door to the Big Mouse World. She's most known for her role of Snowdrop in SFX Animation's My Little Pony fan animation, which proudly boasts 19 million views, 204,000 likes, and over 52,000 comments. Her voice can also be heard in Heroes of New Earth, where she voiced Nina Guardian Moon Queen and Chiang Mai, and other video games like Bee Simulator. She currently voices the character Alex in Blue Monkey's animation series, The Minecraft Life of Alex and Steve, which is approaching 13 million total views for the series. She's a fun personality and a superb voice actor with skills and experience to back it up. And we'll find out more about her, both as a person and as an actor. Please welcome Meredith.
I'll trade you 37 sugared strawberry stickers for your super sweetie Sailor Sun pencil kit. Please!
Energy card, energy card. Ugh, no holographics? Hey, mister, open up! Come on, just one more pack of DigiPro cards, come on!
You're going away? Forever, ever? That's a lot of efforts for me to miss you, Mr. Zoo.
If you think you're going to burn down Shangri-La, you've got another thing coming!
Oh, I wasn't expecting you this late. Let me slip into something a bit more accentuating.
Look, you smell bad, okay? Just take a freaking shower, you'll be fine.
Very well. By royal decree, every Tuesday shall be known as Wishing Star Dream Day. And every Sunday, you must all give your chocolate to me. Or perish. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Time to tear off all your toes!
Well, now we have to make a law about not putting fish in your neighbor's shoe. Lovely.
Well, that's all she wrote. Bye!
Hello, Meredith. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, of course. Anytime.
All right. Let's start right from the beginning here. I want to hear the stories of little Meredith growing up in Indianapolis. What kind of kid were you? What kind of creative things did you do as a child? You know,
tell
me about yourself and your family.
So I was a weird kid. what child isn't? So I was actually born in Louisville, Kentucky, and then we moved up to Indianapolis. I am part of a very big blended family. So my parents divorced and then remarried. So I have tons of siblings, and I grew up kind of that very typical middle child who is a little quiet and isn't as like much of a leader as the older child and isn't as crazy and hyperactive as the younger child. I mean, you know the stereotypes. I pretty much fit the middle child stereotype to a T. But because of that, because there were so many of us, a lot of the times I ended up having to make my own games up by myself. So I would write stories all the time. I would put on little plays with all my friends in elementary school. We would do all kinds of things like that. And that's how I kind of figured out that I wanted to be a storyteller and an actor.
Nice.
I definitely leaned more into the writing side of things, especially because, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but I was obsessed with Disney, especially the theme parks. So I would make up different stories about the theme parks since I could not go myself because we lived way too far away and we did not have the money to go to Disney World. So I would make up all these stories about the parks, and that's kind of how I ended up where I am today.
Oh, wow. I mean, young Meredith chasing her dreams, and here you are. We'll talk about this. This is super interesting. I love it. But if we could dial it back a little bit, you know, I taught high school theater for like decade plus years. So I'm always interested about a voice actor's journey or time during their high school years. Tell me about the high schooler, Meredith. What did you do? Any plays or characters, or did you dance? Were you in a band? What did you do in high school?
High school Meredith was very quiet child who spent a lot of time in honors classes just like reading and not talking to anyone. But in sophomore year, they had tryouts for Cinderella, which was the fall play. They always did a fall play and a spring musical. I tried out with a couple of my friends who basically asked me to try out with them, not thinking I would get anything. And I actually got a part. And it was like a weird version of Cinderella that was very much a not Disney Cinderella. So instead of the stepsisters trying to get anyone, it would be the handmaiden who was trying to steal the prince away.
My.
And of course, I was the jealous handmaiden. So that was fun and interesting to play. And then we got a new drama teacher after that year. Who picked some very, very interesting plays. She liked to pick plays that were probably really famous in the theater circuit, but not so much like a play that an average high schooler would know. So instead of Cinderella and Snow White, we did like The Glass Menagerie, which only had three roles and super deep. But through that, I got exposed to a lot of different kinds of theater, which was really, really helpful to me.
That's a huge jump from Cinderella to Glass Menagerie.
Yes, it's a very big jump. And then, you know, I took drama classes with her as well. And she was the one that kind of introduced me to things like Sweeney Todd. All of these really dark things. And, you know, I grew up in a pastor's home, a very, very progressive pastor's home.
Oh, no.
But a pastor's home. So I had no idea what Sweeney Todd was. And I'm sitting there very naively in theater class, like picking up the little playbook that we were going to read. Oh, what's this? I've never heard of this before. It's about a barber. And then I read it.
Is this okay?
Yeah, I read it, and it was different than what I've normally been exposed to. But it was good. It gave me a very well-rounded theatrical education.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, at the same time, as you grew up, right, into becoming a young adult, instead of going for a theater major, you actually appealed to the side of you that really favored English and study creative writing instead, hoping to become that Imagineer role for Disney. I'm so, like, happy that you decided to, like, pursue what you wanted from the beginning, you know? Tell us what Imagineer is, for those of us who don't know, and talk to us about making that decision to pursue creative writing rather than acting.
Yeah, When I was 10 years old, I learned what an Imagineer was. And they are essentially, Imagineer is a very Disney-specific term, but they are the people that come up with all of the different ideas for the parks. So anything from the background stories to the engineering behind the animatronics that they use, that is Imagineering. And when I was about 10 years old, when I learned what that was, I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to go down to the parks and I want to make things up. And I want to make these parks the way I want them to be, because I had never actually been to the parks, so I had no idea what they were like. But that stuck with me. And I loved doing theater and I loved acting, but I knew that what I really wanted to do was write. And I wanted to work on show writing, which is the job that people do in Imagineering and in Universal Creative. They have that as well, but they make up all the scripts and all the stories for the rides. So any ride that you experience, somebody wrote that ride out. So I moved down here after college to Orlando, Florida. I started out in the college program, which is kind of like a Disney internship where they have you do different operational roles while you're learning about the company and what they do.
Yeah.
And that ended up being kind of a few years of everything from merchandise to driving the safari trucks to being an animal educator. And I didn't actually find a true Disney Imagineering job yet, maybe someday. But I do, I work for a company that does very much the same thing. So I get to do a lot of writing for the theme parks, not so much Disney, but for other kind of international parks and smaller regional parks. I get to make up all of the stories for their shows and rides and resorts.
Yeah.
That's kind of my day-to-day job when I'm not voice acting.
Wow. I mean, you still achieved your dream of writing shows, right? Maybe not for Disney, but you're still doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice. You know, working for Disney would be great because then I could write for all the characters that I loved and all the different rides that I love. And I still go to the parks all the, well, I go to the parks when they're not closed for a pandemic. But I still love the parks. But what's great about working where I work is I get to work with a lot of original storylines. So whereas Disney already has a lot of stories, anything from Snow White, Beauty and the Beast, blah, 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 where I work, I have to come up with all those stories. So I have to start from the very beginning and write the origins of everything and take it all the way to the opening day.
I bet you prefer that, don't you?
You know, it's half and half. There are pros and cons to both because I have as well. I have worked with IP before where I work. I can't say which ones, but I have worked with IP before. And what I love about IP is there is already kind of a grounding to it. So with the rules in place, I can go a lot faster and I can also kind of add my personal touch to it without being too invasive. I don't really know how to describe what I've done for the IP without naming it, but I got to work with the original creators and tailor it into parks. Whereas working with original ideas is awesome and it's my idea and I love it so much, but it takes a lot longer. It takes a lot more creative energy because I'm coming up with everything. And also, you get very attached to your ideas, so it stings even more when somebody's like, oh no, we have to take all of this out, which happens a lot in the editing floor.
Yikes. I bet that hurts. Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah. Anybody in the creative field who's had to deal with editing or people, you know, cutting things, they know. And it's a lot of learning how to take criticism, which when I was just starting out, like anyone just starting out, wasn't used to it. I've gotten a lot better at it now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to dial us back a little bit more, back to your college days when you were actually starting to find some voice work. How did the very first voice work start for you?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
That laugh. Okay.
So my very first step into voice work was actually in high school, and I recorded some very, very, very awful, I have deleted them, you cannot find them, covers of Vocaloid songs because I was obsessed with Vocaloid.
Oh, nice.
And I still love Vocaloid. So I recorded those, and I kind of got the first level of my energy out on that. And then I went to college and I really didn't have time, nor did I have a great microphone. I was working with like a gaming headset. I had no idea about microphones. So I kind of stopped until I got an audition sent to me by a friend for a game called Fighting is Magic, which is a My Little Pony fighting game. So I sent in an audition for that. I auditioned for a character called Twilight Sparkle. This was when My Little Pony was like huge and everybody was into it. I did not think I would get it. And then I got it. So that kind of kickstarted me being into this, like, oh, I guess I could audition for more things because I had to get a better microphone. So I got that and I recorded for that. And I terrified my RA because recording for a fighting game in a dorm meant that she thought somebody was actually beating the crud out of me. So I had to kind of explain that a little bit. But I really found myself loving getting back into acting. At my college, you really couldn't audition for any of the plays unless you were a theater major, because they wanted to reserve it for those people in theater, which is completely understandable, but
I had
nowhere that I could act. So I had found voice acting to be a way that I could still pursue theatrical items while working on my writing degree.
Oh, wow. I mean, okay. It makes perfect sense. You, like, couldn't do it, so you found a way to do it. That's awesome.
And then through Fighting is Magic, I got a lot more roles in the... Oh, hold on just a second. My cat is currently opening the door, and he's very loud when he does this, so let me just open the door for him.
Okay, go ahead.
Jesper.
I'm keeping this in.
You're so rude.
Okay, now he's been let out of the room. He'll come back in like 2 minutes.
I'm sure he will.
Anyway, yeah, so through voice acting for Fighting is Magic and from finding more roles within that My Little Pony community, because I could voice match Twilight pretty decently. I wouldn't say I was the best one, but I could voice match her okay, and I could voice match a character named Fluttershy pretty well. So I was getting roles for that. And that's when I met up with a group of other actors and animators, and we kind of formed this collective where we would make cartoons together. So I got to do a lot of acting with them.
Let's shift gears here and talk about your voice work indeed. Prior to moving to Orlando, you know, I really want to hear more about SFS, oh my gosh.
SFS Animation.
Thank you very much. The SFS Animation, Silly Philly Studios, where you voice match for Twilight Sparkle, Fluttershy, and Snowdrop in their fan animation of My Little Pony videos. Now, before everybody here listening starts to cough at My Little Pony, let me put out some statistics for the listeners here. The SFS Animation verified channel. 273,000 subscribers. The 14-minute fan animation where Meredith voiced Snowdrop came out March 21st, 2013, and currently has 19 million views. Oh my gosh. 204,000 likes, 52,000 comments. Meredith, talk about exposure and engagement. And it was a hobby.
And you know
your
what?
Your voice was a hobby.
That video... I'm not going to lie. That video, I have grown a lot from when I wrote it the first time. And that video kind of makes me like, oh, I wish I could go back and edit it so bad. Because it was so that video, I was the writer. I helped direct it along with our head animator. And I did voice the Snowdrop character. I came up with the idea when I was studying abroad in Australia. I was studying at the University of Queensland, and it was summertime for them. So it was blisteringly hot, and all I wanted to do was be in snow. And we were watching the different episodes of My Little Pony, because, again, it was so big at the time, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And I just got this random idea about a pony that created snow for the first time, because they can control the weather in the show. So I wrote the script in, like, God... The first draft of the script, like an hour and a half. It was worse than it is now. I wrote it and I just kind of threw it in our communal Dropbox file. And then I woke up the next morning and everybody was like, oh yeah, we loved it. Let's work on this. So they all decided they wanted to work on it. I was totally cool with that. I was really excited to get to work on something that I had written because I had never gotten to do that before. So we refined it and we worked on it for probably the better part of a year, and we finally released it, and people liked it, and that made me so happy that I could make something that people liked, because I had no expectations. So we worked so hard on it. Our poor animator, he was up probably 18 hours a day by the end of it, just trying to crunch it all out. Really burned him out. But the fact that people liked it and it spoke to them just kind of touched us, made me really happy. We're still really good friends. SFS isn't really making as much together at this point because we've all gotten older and gotten jobs and lives and busy. Unlike university where we had time, we had free time. I have no free time anymore. But we still are together as a group of really close-knit friends, and I wouldn't have traded that for anything in the world.
So cool. So cool. Ah. I'm touched. That's great.
It was a really good experience that I could have in my early years of voice acting. Just having this group of very supportive artists and voice actors gather together and have each other as support.
It was
probably the best situation that I could have been in.
And then after you graduated from college, you took a break from voice acting to focus on your writing career. Now that you have a career in writing, right, you're starting to kind of come back to the voice acting realm here. Does it feel like homecoming of sorts, you know, like, or is it like riding a bike? Did you pick it up and just go, you know? It kind of seems like things are kind of falling back into their places as you had been.
So as I was working down here, first the safari driver role and then finally getting the writing role, I was still somewhat doing voice work, but it was more commercial voice work. So I was doing a lot of narration from one regular client that did a lot of like plastic surgery videos, and that was really weird. I had to learn a lot about whatever the heck all of their crazy plastic surgery lingo was. So I was still doing a lot of commercial work, but it's all kind of the same, like, come to the spa today, blah, 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 that kind of voice. So to get back into character work, which I have been doing a lot more of, especially video games. There's a couple games that I'm in right now that I'm not sure if I can say what I'm in or not. So I'm not going to, because I'm not going to risk that.
Err on the safe side. That's right.
But getting back into the character work, while it is something I'm still comfortable doing, because I had that experience, I wouldn't say it's quite like riding a bike, because there's so much that you have to learn. Even an experienced actor would have to take classes and learn more about how to get into their different roles and how to make their voices shift the way they can. And, you know, as I've gotten older, my voice hasn't changed too much, but it's changed enough that I've kind of had to learn about what my voice can do all over again. So it's been an exercise.
A bit of a rediscovery of yourself, I guess, and your artistic person.
Yeah, because when you stop, I guess, again, I didn't really stop, but when you kind of put a pause on one part of your life that really brought you so much joy in order to focus on something else, and then you find a chance to come back to it, it is almost like reawakening that part of yourself that's been kind of buried deep down for a while. So being able to have that reawakening and getting the opportunity to audition and record for things again, still not quite as much as I did back in college because of my full-time job, but enough that I really get to have that experience of coming into another character and really giving that character a voice again. That's been so much fun to get to learn again.
And it really does seem like you're getting your swing back, if you will. One of the more recent roles is Alex in Blue Monkey's Alex and Steve series. Listeners here, get this, okay? Blue Monkey is a verified YouTube channel with 1.87 million subscribers. And the video, The Minecraft Life of Alex and Steve, movie number one, currently has almost 13 million views. Published in 2017, the most recent video of their channel, Noob vs. Pro Build Battle, was published only a few weeks ago, and it's already at 400,000 views. And this is weeks ago. Meredith, how has working with Blue Monkey been for you, as well as Blake Swift, who voices Steve?
So I absolutely adore Blue Monkey. He is one of my favorite people. He is so kind. He's so complimentary, and his scripts provide such good direction that I can usually just kind of get a few lines in, a few takes in of each line, and we can get what we need to get. And I love voicing Alex. I will admit I've never actually played Minecraft because I'm not good at those kinds of games. I'm terrible at those kinds of games. And I... My boyfriend, I think, tried to get me to play it once, and I think I died in like the first 5 minutes. It was not a good time. When you die in Minecraft in the first 5 minutes, I feel like that's just an extra level of failure that you shouldn't ignore. But I love getting to play, Alex. I've gotten to speak with kids that actually watch the show, like one of my coworkers' kids watches it and then found out who I was and got really excited. So that was really cool. That was probably one of the coolest days of my life. And shows a little bit of how boring my life is, but it was pretty awesome when that happened just randomly one day. But also his animation style is so fluid. Like, it feels like it's something that you would see on TV. So he never ceases to amaze me at how talented he is at his work. And I'm very lucky that I get to play a part in that.
Very cool. It's great. I've seen an episode and I was blown away. You're right. The animation is really flawless and smooth and TV quality, I would dare to say. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love his work. He worked with me on a couple of videos even before Alex and Steve. So his work has held up for years. I've just been fortunate to get to help him out with it.
And you also played the Lord character in, so this is basically Fire Emblem on the YouTube channel, Jello Apocalypse. You said that this was particularly fun for you. Tell us about that.
So just like Blue Monkey is my favorite person in the world, Jello is also one of my favorite people in the world. I have a lot of favorite people. But
how many favorites do you have?
A lot of people. I like people. I love Jello so much. He is probably the funniest human being alive. And the fact that I got to help him with any video at all is an honor for me because he's so funny and so smart and so good at what he does. So getting to play the Lord was really interesting because that was my first time, or at least one of my first times, being live directed. Normally, it's just me in a closet with my microphone. But Jello likes to do live direction. I totally get why he does, but it still didn't change the fact that I was an anxious mess right before it started. Oh, I was so anxious. But he made it so easy. And it was a great exercise for myself in getting to learn about live direction. Because it is very different. It's very different having to act with nobody around in your closet, in your PJ pants. Like being like, and then having somebody actually listen to you screaming and shouting. And then interrupting you and being like, okay, can you do it with just like this or this? Very, very different experience. So, but no, I loved it. It was great.
How fun. And then above and beyond the YouTube realm too, you're also in a few video games, like you mentioned. You were in Heroes of New Earth, where you voiced Gina, Guardian Moon Queen, and Chiang Mai. Talk to us about working on that project. The question that I want to ask is, how close are you personally or as an actor to these characters? Any difficulties or fun stories about voicing these powerful women that you see?
One of them, I remember this very clearly, needed a Thai accent. And I had no idea how to do it. This was one of my first kind of steps back into character work after taking that break. I got the audition through voices.com when I still had a membership for that. And I got the part, but they were like, can you do it in a Thai accent? And I'm like, what? I am as white as Wonder Bread. I am like the very definition of a Scottish person, except a Scottish person that can't do a Scottish accent very well either.
So
to tell me I needed to do a Thai accent, I listened to different instructional videos about Thai accents for probably 5 hours, just trying to get it right. And then I was in the booth for a while, still trying to get it right. I've never done an accent like that before in my life.
Oof.
So in terms of accents,
oof.
No, not close to these characters at all. But the characters themselves are so cool because they're so strong and so powerful, and I don't usually get to play those roles. Usually I get put in the more high-pitched or childlike roles. So yeah. to get to play these two really, like, badass,
yeah.
powerful women was a great change of pace.
Mm. Interesting, indeed. And then it goes on from there to something even more crazy, where you voiced a bee? A few bees on the bee simulator? What is that
bee
about?
Bee simulator. Bee simulator is a very interesting game. It's on the Switch. but I got to voice, oh gosh, a few bees, and then I got to voice a wasp. And it's a game where the player is a bee and has to do bee things. So I had to voice an old lady bee, which was another one that I'd never done an old lady voice before. So I sent them a voice that was like very deep and wise and like, oh yes, the library's this way. And they were like, no. We want, like, not to go back to My Little Pony, but this is what they mentioned. We want a Granny Smith old lady. And I'm like, I have never done that in my life. Why do you think I can do this? I didn't actually tell them that. Of course, as any good voice actor, I'm like, yeah, I can do it. I can totally do it.
Of course.
So I did my best Granny Smith, which was not very good, but they liked it enough. And then I played a wasp that was kind of like a jerk, a bully, because I guess a wasp is the enemy trying to kill all the bees. So I had to like put on this scratchy bully voice, like, go after all the bees. But yes, the game is out now. It's on the Switch. I got to voice with a lot of other people that were really talented as well. So that also was a lot of fun to get to work on.
That's awesome. I mean, if anybody here listening is playing Animal Crossing on their Switch, which they're doing right now as we speak.
Oh, sure.
you know, Bee Simulator, go look it up now. Goodness.
And I will say, too, like, the nice thing as well about all of these roles that I've done is I have been able to do them at home. And I think a lot of people believe that they have to be in the big voice hubs in order to get regular jobs. And while I think it's true that being in those hubs helps, so being in, you know, Dallas and LA and New York really does help because you can get agents and you can make connections with other actors, it is still possible to get roles being where you are. You don't have to necessarily move to those hubs. And I feel like as we're dealing with this pandemic and everybody having to stay home, people are realizing that more and more. I've been seeing a lot more about remote casting. And I think that will help a lot of actors who are stuck in a given place, whether it's for their job or school, and they can't move, they still have a chance of being able to participate in this kind of world.
Truer words have never been spoken. One of the recent episodes that came out was about a female voice actor named Melissa Medina, and she's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Far, far away from any of the hubs that you just mentioned. And she's booking left and right, video game roles and animation. And she's doing super well. And yourself as well are really great inspiration for aspiring voice actors. So thank you for doing well. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm happy I'm getting parts. But it's good to be able to know that if you have the right equipment, it is important to have a good microphone, it is important to have a treated space, but if you have the right equipment and you have the drive to look up these roles, it is fully possible to get roles without necessarily being in Hollywood. Fully possible to do it. And again, I think as we find these more remote situations happening, who knows how long this is going to take, but the longer we are in that, I think the more people will start to value remote and being able to have those treated spaces in their homes.
Now, my next question, which is not on the questionnaire, I know that you're fulfilled in your career choice in the as a show writer for theme parks, and you really love voice acting. And in an ideal world, I'm sure there can exist the two of you, and the two of you can go full time to fulfill both sides of your desires, but which I'm curious, if you were ever given a chance or an opportunity where you could be a full-time voice actor for an animation or a series of video games, would you take it and leave the show writing business?
That is a very difficult question.
Yeah.
Because I love my job.
Yeah.
And I love voice acting so much. And of course, I want to continue doing both. I think if I had to choose between one or the other, as difficult as that is, I would still choose writing, only because with writing, I get to give voices to characters that don't exist yet. And I really, really enjoy having that opportunity to create characters straight up from the ether. Of course, if a role came up where they wanted me to record for a full video game and I needed to go somewhere to record and they didn't want to use my home space, they wanted me to go to LA for a week, I would take the time off, of course, and go do it. And I'm fortunate to be in a job with a company that is flexible enough and would be kind enough to let me go and get that opportunity. And I know that not a lot of people are in that same situation. So it's a lot harder. But
right.
I think if I had to choose between one or the other, I would still find my home primarily in writing.
Interesting indeed. I mean, it's so interesting because I'm a big advocate of really pursuing your own happiness, whatever it may be. And it's transparent and obvious, and anybody listening here, after your resume and your experience and the projects that you've been involved in, can clearly see that you're a fantastically talented voice actor. At the same time, you're going to choose to remain in the writing because that's what brings happiness and joy. And I think that's an even greater sign of a creator and a creative. I commend you. That's fantastic.
Thank you. I mean, if I could write, I know what I really want to do someday also is write for an animated series. Like, I love writing for rides and themed spaces. I think that I'm very blessed to be in the opportunity where I can kind of be the one to instigate a theme park or a resort that will someday make families and children happy. Like, that's super exciting for me.
Hmm.
But being able to make an animated series is another dream of mine. And I'm hoping to pursue that someday as well. So I think even if I stay in the writing world, I wouldn't be too far from acting. And even with rides and everything, when I have to script out dialogue for characters, I'm still kind of in the acting realm there. Oh, you should see me at my desk sometimes. I'm just reading very quietly to myself out loud so that I'm not disturbing anybody else. Luckily, most of them wear headphones, or else they would just hear me like talking to myself and saying the same four lines over and over again as I'm writing dialogue with slight variations just to see which one I like better. And I will act at my desk. I have this nice little desk all to myself, and I will write out a line of dialogue and then I'll come up with a voice for it. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. And I'll just read it aloud, and I'll read it aloud a good 10 times until I'm happy with it. So I still use my acting even in writing. It's just a little bit different.
What's wrong with her? Oh, it's just Meredith. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. It's just Meredith talking again. Don't worry about it.
Wonderful. Hi, are there, this is a question off the top of my head, are there any original characters that you've created for fun since you're a writer and an actor?
Like for my job?
For fun? For just creation of things? For, I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I have a few different animated pilots that I've been working on lately, pitch Bibles for.
Huh.
I've been working on one for a couple years. One I've kind of been drafting over the past year. I also have a couple of novels in the outline stage. Usually I'm too tired by the end of the day when I get home to write on those at this point. And I believe that burnout is a serious issue that, you know, if I'm not really careful with my balance of writing a whole bunch at work and then coming home and writing more, I will burn myself out. So a lot of those things kind of are in the outline stage, but I can't help sometimes while I'm at work, my head drifts off into, oh, I bet this character would be really good for this scene, blah, 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 blah. I will make up characters all the time. And I usually do give them a voice, whether it's sarcastic or prim and proper or crazy hyperactive. They usually all have a voice in my head. I don't know any writers are listening, but I did read a study a couple weeks ago about how people who write often have the characters talking in their head.
Yeah.
And how a good like 60 to 70% of writers actually experience that. And I would say I have experienced that before. And I'm sure other writers and actors as well. Like if they're thinking through a story outline or a scene, they might have a character be like, oh no, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. They do that sometimes. Of course, I tell that to my non-writing friends and they all think I'm crazy. But
that's called schizophrenia, Meredith. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they think. But apparently I'm not the only one who deals with it, so it's fine.
Oh gosh. Now, before we move on to the end of our conversation here, I do want to bring up, for my own selfish reasons, a little bit of a promotion about My Senpai's Unknowing Project, which you are a part of. First of all, thank you for doing it. I was going through audition after audition after audition for Igarashi, and just none of them seemed to fit. And then your voice came up, and I was like, that's her! That's her! Aww. That's her!
I'm so glad you liked it.
I crossed my fingers really, really, really hard. And I was hoping that you say yes, and you said yes, and I had a great day that day. Cloud Nine is understatement.
I adore the role. It's so much fun. It's very bouncy and fun and energetic, and I get to come home whenever the lines are in and just kind of belt them all out, and I love it. Jella was actually the one who told me about the project in the first place on Twitter. Jella, the one I played the Lord for in his Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for him, I never would have found the audition. But yeah, it's a real treat to get to voice act a character that has this range of emotion that you really have to balance well.
And thank goodness you're here for that, because I really couldn't imagine this project without you. And I'm so happy and thankful that you found me.
I'm happy that you are happy with it. Like every time I record the lines, I'm always listening to them over and over. I'm like, is that what he wants? No, I'm going to do it again. Is that what he wants? No, I'm going to do it again.
I need to be clearer in my directions then.
No, not so much that. So it's more just me being really picky.
I'd really love everybody listening to go check out Meredith's performance. We have eight episodes out on YouTube. You can find it on my Twitter profile. She's phenomenal. Meredith is a phenomenal voice actor, and you can just feel Igarashi's joy and anger and frustration coming through the speakers.
Oh, thank you.
Highly recommended. I don't plug my own shows. This is bad form. I'm sorry, but gosh dang it, she's just so good.
It's not bad form to plug your own shows. It's promotion. It's fine. And I'm totally not just saying that because you didn't just compliment me for 5 minutes. Da, 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 da. Oh, God.
All right. We'll close it out here. The following questions are questions I ask everybody. So, Meredith, what are some short-term and long-term goals for you, both personally as well as professionally?
I think short-term goals for me right now is I'm getting a script for kind of a trailer for one of my pitch Bibles done. I would like to actually complete that without going completely nuts. Long-term goals, I mean, I would love to get my animated series made. Who wouldn't love that? That's a lot of work, but I really want to try. I would love to be a creative director someday for kind of what I do for theme parks. So that's kind of a career goal for me. And that's stepping up from writing to overseeing an entire project's art, writing, technology implementation. That's kind of career-wise what I want to move towards. And voice acting-wise, I just kind of want to keep getting parts. who doesn't want to keep getting parts? But I would like
just
to...
Just like the rest of us.
Yeah, I would like to try and expand my range a little bit more and find other roles that I can really that challenge me. I've done a lot of the cute, like, oh, I'm that kind of voice. I've done a ton of that. So I would like to find something that's a little more challenging and really helps me to expand my range.
Attainable and definitely fantastic goals. It's just like the rest of us. Imagine that. You're a human voice actor just like the rest of us. Wow. Okay. Now, I think the equipment that we use, right? Well, the ones that we start out with and eventually upgrade to and what we settle on are these really interesting mile markers of our progress in this industry. So, Meredith, I'm curious, what does your recording space look like? What did you start out with and what are you using now?
So, like I told you before, I started out with a gaming headset. And that was back in high school when I literally had no idea what I was doing. Please don't use a gaming headset. I slowly switched over to Snowball. I used a Snowball throughout college. It was fine. I still like, right now I'm using an AT2035 and it's attached to a Euphoria UM2. And in that kind of nice treated space of my closet, I've treated my closet to kind of be my home space right now. I'm moving in a few weeks, so we'll see where my new recording space is actually going to be. I don't know yet, but right now it's a closet. I've got my really nice microphone. And so far that setup's worked for me for a couple years. The microphone's a funny story. My microphone was really old, the one that I was using before.
Yeah.
Wasn't working very well. And oh my gosh, I don't even remember exactly what was going on, but I was just having like the worst December of my life. Like worst December of my life. And I love Christmas. It's like my favorite holiday. So to not even like be enjoying that holiday season, worst December of my life. Side note, usually then if you think something's the end of the world, it's probably not, because I don't even remember what I was upset about. But my SFS friends, the ones that I'm still very good friends with today, they got together and they bought me my microphone as a Christmas present to me because they knew how upset I was and how terrible a time I was having. And I broke down and cried.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, I love this microphone, not just because it does a good job, but it reminds me of what good friends I have, and that no matter what happens in life and no matter how many bad things come, I have my friends, and that will always be with me.
How wholesome. Ah, I love it. That's a good story. Okay, so you work full time as a show writer and then you come home and voice all these characters and turn them in and meet the deadlines. And it's like 10 p.m., right? And you've had a long day. When you open your cabinet or go out to a bar or whatever, what is your drink, Meredith?
This is going to be the most boring answer for you in the world. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. It's just a choice. I don't like the taste. Yeah. I've never found a drink that I've actually enjoyed. One of my voice actor friends, wild card, one time we were at a convention, he was like, I'm going to find you a drink that you like. And I'm like, okay, good try. He took me to the bar and they made me like a Sex on the Beach. And they were like, you're going to love this. You can't taste the alcohol at all. And he took a sip of it. And oh, I could taste the alcohol. But they had such expectant looks on their faces that I just kind of like swallowed it. And I was like,
oh, no.
That's good. So tasty. Oh, my God. I just kind of pretended to sip on it.
Wow. Wow. So you just straight out bold-faced lied to your friends. Well, there you go.
I didn't want to hurt their feelings.
And now they're listening and they hate you now. There you go.
No. Well, to be fair, Wildcard always kind of pretends like he hates me, but that's okay because I pretend like I hate him too. It's like our back and forth. It's fine.
Okay. It's a loving relationship after all. There you go.
It's like a brother-sister relationship, the one that I never really had. So, but he tried to get me to like alcohol. If I ever find a drink I enjoy, I will be very happy about that because at least then I can drink something whenever I go out to a bar besides water without getting the weird looks on people's faces. Ugh. But I mean, I'm perfectly fine. I will tell you, if I'm ever having a stressed out day, I have a secret stash of pixie sticks in my drawer. I eat those.
I'm sorry. A secret stash of pixie sticks. I'm dying.
I eat those. I like those. It's literally just pure sugar. Fun Dip is also really good. When I was a child, oh gosh, when I was about 5, 6 years old, my mother got me one of those things, a Fun Dip, that was like cherry grape and ras apple. And I ripped the whole top off of it, dumped it all into the bowl, and just ate it straight with a spoon. Didn't even bother with the sugar stick. I think I ate the sugar stick after. But yeah, no, I'm a big fan of pure sugar.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I mean, whiskey for some, tequila for some, and pixie sticks for some. That's fine. That's fine. All right, Meredith.
Don't judge me.
I'm happily married. You have a boyfriend, but I love you. I just want to put that out there.
appreciate the platonic.
Excellent. Meredith, what's next? Okay, what's next for you? What do you have coming up that's not under an NDA that you can tell me? And then just life in general, where do you go from here?
A lot of my stuff that's next is under NDA.
Okay, never mind then.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about, quite honestly. Even things at work, I'm definitely not allowed to talk about that kind of stuff. But I think just kind of working towards my goals in general is what's next for me, career-wise and personal-wise. Just keep trying and keep chugging along.
Yeah.
Boring of an answer, that is.
I think that's fine. And if the listeners here want to find out more about you and your work, current, past, whatever, where can they go to find you?
It helps that a lot of things that I did in my past, I didn't have, like, a username. I just used my real name. Probably wasn't the safest thing in the world for me to do. But I was young and dumb. So, if you Google Meredith Sims, you can find me pretty easily. Which is a little unfortunate. But luckily, like, none of my personal information. I already blocked all that out. But yeah, a lot of my voice acting stuff is just under my real name. My Twitter is VA Snapdragon, my public Twitter. And whenever I'm doing a voice acting thing, I will usually post it on that. So that's probably the best place to look for me.
I don't know you that well outside of our interactions in producing My Senpai's Unknowing. But gosh dang it, it's so much fun talking with you.
It's so much fun talking with you too.
Thanks for being on the show.
It's been great. We haven't really gotten to talk to each other much. Yeah.
I know. Gosh dang it. Episode 8 is coming out. I'm getting ready to kind of put that out there now. And I can't. As a matter of fact, we're at 38 subscribers. Yay! And some of the comments that have been coming in those videos have been really supportive. And they're really looking forward to more of your voice acting. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to have more done by you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to when the next run of lines comes out. It'll be fun.
Thanks for being on the show and have a good day. Thanks, Meredith.
You too. Bye.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello. My name is Eric Howell, and I'm the podcast editor for Voice Actor Showcase.
Whoa! Hey, get back! I'm trying to make a commercial here!
Anyways, if you have a podcast that needs editing, or you would like to make a voice acting demo reel, you can reach me at thepodcastdoctor@gmail.com, and I'll be with you right after I slay this dragon.
No, you! Come back here!